Okay, we were speaking about different claims a borrower could make by which he doesn't want to pay back the loan. So first we spoke about, he says he didn't understand what was written in the document, and based on that he doesn't want to pay back the loan. And then we spoke about, it's such an old document, he says, oh, it must be that the lender forgave me by then. By now it's old loan. And we said both of those kindness are not so good. In most cases, if you, when you sign something, you put your trust in the sofa and you're committed to what's written there, unless you could prove that they tricked you. And in the second case also, even though it's an old loan, unless you can show that there was some type of trickery going on here, you have to pay it, even though it might be 50 years later. Tonight we have a third taina, and that is maybe a more simple, more common case where the borrower doesn't want to, the lover doesn't want to pay back the loan until he receives his document back. We said there's a mitzvah to write, to have witnesses, or at least write a document, an IOU, and he's ready to pay back the loan. And the lender, the malva, says, I'm sorry, I lost the IOU. I'll give you a receipt instead. He said, I don't want a receipt. I want my document back. Or a more common case, maybe more practical case, would be, I have the document right here in my hand. I have the IOU in my hand, but I don't want to give it back to you until you give me the money. And Lova says, I don't want to give you the money until you give me back the document. I don't trust you.
Let's get it to Adam.
I don't want Adam. I'll give you the money as soon as you give me back the document. You know, it's right in my hand, give it to me. And I said, no, I'm afraid I'm not giving you any going to run. Right, so who has the upper hand? So we talked about two different cases now, and each is going, we'll deal with each one separately. The first case we'll talk about is where the Malta, the lender, says, I'm sorry, I lost the IOU. And the second case is where he has it. He just says, I want to pay back first, and then I'll give it to you. Really, we're talking about a third case where he'll say, I don't have it here with me. It's back in my old, I went on a trip, and I left it over there in the other, another country, in Eretz Yisrael, I left it. And I came back here, and I forgot to bring your IOU. But pay me in the meantime, and when I go back to Eretz Yisrael, I'll bring it back to you then. Right, those are the three cases we want to talk about. The first case is where he says, I lost it. The second case, he says, I have it, but it's far away. Pay me anyway, and I'll give it back to you when I get back over there. And the third case is, it's right here, but they're arguing about who goes first. Do you pay the loan first and then get the document, or do you give the document first and then receive your money? Right, those are the three cases we're talking about.
Does it make a difference if the amount of money is a substantial amount, or a few dollars?
Why should it make a difference?
We learned about an Aveda, if it doesn't have too much of a value,
well, then
you have to return it.
There we have a din of yiyush, right? That's a special chiddush, that if I lose something, so it's like out of my possession already, so there I am a yayish if it's something that's not worth my while trying to retrieve. But where I didn't lose it, I know where it is. My money is right in your house that I lent it to you. So then yiyush usually does not work by a loan. But that's a good point, that yiyush works by an aveda, but not by some where I know the money. I know where it is. I just, we're arguing who goes first. Yiyush probably will not help. So the truth is, this is a beferish sugya called kosven shover. It's a machlokes amaroyim, whether we force someone to write a receipt. Right? That's a machlokes. The Gemara in Bava Basra concludes, kuf ayin al of amid beis. The Gemara concludes, goes back and forth. It says mistabra to kosven shover. It makes sense to say that we do force the borrower, the lover, to accept a receipt. The Yisak Adaitich ain't kosven shover, because if you say that we don't force him to accept a receipt, avat shtara shalzeh, what happens if the lender loses his document, the IOU, or the document, yochol halav echadi, does it make sense that the borrower should just keep his money? Great, you lost your document, I can keep my money. So therefore, the halacha is, you write a receipt. Matzkav la abaya, abaya is back. Velamai, so we want to say kosven shover, we tell him that, okay, malva, write the receipt and give it to the lover. But now you just switch the problem. Avat shover shalzeh, But now what happens if the Lovah loses the receipt? Yochel HaRav HaKhadeh, it makes sense that the Malvah or his Yarshim will one day collect a second time, and they don't—they lost the receipt, or they're unaware of the receipt. What do you accomplish? Someone's going to lose here. Either the Malvah loses because he lost the document, or the Lovah loses because he lost the receipt. Like, who goes first? So Omer Le'Abah, Rava answered, there's a difference here. Right, we have a question. Who's the one that should take the risk? So the answer is, it's proper that the lover should take the risk. The borrower should take the risk. Why? Because every lover is mother. A lender has an upper hand over a borrower, because once he borrowed the money, he's like an abbot, he's like a servant. He's reliant on this borrower, on the mother. And it makes sense also, because I did you a favor, I lent you the money. You didn't do me any favor by borrowing the money. So therefore, if it's a question who should have to take a risk, it's better, the Gemara Paskins, for the Lova to take the risk. We force him to hold the receipt, and if he loses it, that's his problem. He has to be careful not to lose the receipt. This is Paskin of Shulchan Aruch. Siman and Dalet Tefez Habal Lefroa Chobo. If someone wants to collect his chov, V'amir Amav, and Amav says, Ovel Liyashari lost the document. Eina Lova Yochel Amalef Faraloch. I should talk to the shtar. The lover can't say, I'm not going to pay you until you return the shtar, which you claim you lost. He writes him a receipt, and he has to pay back the entire chov. The Eruch HaShulchan, once again, not the Oruch HaShulchan, the Eruch HaShulchan says, the Malva doesn't have to prove or have any evidence that he lost the shtar. Just like him saying, I lost the shtar. He brings someone that says he has to prove that he has to have witnesses that he lost the shtar, but he brings to the Marit and Pashas of the Sugya that he doesn't have to prove it. As long as he says, I lost the document, and we have no reason to suspect that he's lying, he can now force the borrower to accept a receipt. Now, just to, before we go on, we don't hold that way, but the Achronim asks, how could it be that someone can hold, you can't force the lover to accept the receipt? Because they ask from another halacha. The halacha is, sometimes a borrower, a lova gives the malva a mashman, gives him a security deposit. Right? That happens, I lend you $10,000 and you give me your diamond ring as a security deposit. Now what happens if that security deposit gets stolen? So the halacha is, I'm a shomer sachar, and if it's something that happened as an onus, it was something unavoidable, it was an unavoidable armed robbery, I couldn't stop it. So the halacha is, in the times of the Mishnah, make a shvua, I swear that it was unavoidable, and I'd be potter. And then what do? I go to you and say, look, I'm sorry, I lost the mashkon, it got stolen, it was no choice of my own, and I want to get paid back. And what's the halacha? Of course, the halacha is the borrower has to pay back the loan. Because we trust the malva's shvua, his oath, to say that it was unavoidably lost, and now he has to pay the loan. The one thing doesn't have anything to the other. So the kash they ask is, the Nesiva says, or Kieger, or the Achron, and Shara Mishpat asks, that he doesn't even have an answer. They ask, so why is it if the Malva says, I lost the loan document, we don't trust him, according to the other Mandamer. It ends that we do trust him, but according to that sheet in the Gemara that says, you don't write a receipt. And the Lova is allowed to say, I'm not going to pay you until you give me back my document. I don't trust you. Why is it there that we don't trust? Why is it that someone at least holds that we don't trust the Malva to say, I lost the loan document, but we do trust him to say, he lost the $1 million mashkon? Like, it could be much more expensive, and he's believed to say, I lost it. It was an unavoidable onus, so something I'm not responsible for. We accept his shvua. Now we do accept from him, right? Okay. But if he lost the document, we don't accept the shvua from. We don't accept anything. We say you're not going to get your money back until you get back the receipt, according to the other man, the Amar. Right? That's the kasha they said. I'm saying it's because we'll understand what we hold also from this. So the Nesiva's answer is like this. He says, well, you have to think about what's happening, and that's why it's worth speaking it out, even though it's not la'alocha. What happens when I give a mashkon? When I'm giving a security deposit, it's like there's two transactions, two separate, distinct transactions happened over here. Number one is, you lent me $1,000. I am the lova, you're the malva. you're the lender, I'm the borrower, you lent me $1,000. Another transaction that happened here is I, the borrower, gave you something of mine to watch. You're a shomer sachar, you're watching something of mine, you're a shomer sachar, and you're responsible for anything that happens unless it's unavoidable and unless it's an onus. So those two transactions are not linked. If I can prove that I'm not responsible for the mashkan, for the ring, the security deposit, so I'm absolved of all responsibility, but that doesn't absolve you of responsibility to pay back your loan. That's a separate transaction. But if I give you a shtar, I give you I sign an IOU, I give you a document that says that attests that I owe you this money, so then I have a right to say, look, you gave me money, I gave you something that's collectible. It's almost like paying up the nesivos. It's almost like it's paid, even though we hold it's not collectible by a shtar, but it's, in certain ways it's like it's paid up. You're holding something of mine, of value, in return for that money that you gave me. So I'm not going to give you back that $1,000 until you give me back that document. But that's what the one who in the Gemara holds ain kosum shover hearts. We hold kosum shover. Why? Not because we disagree with that logic. The logic is very good. I really should not have to pay you back the $1,000 until you give me back that document that I gave you in return, because it's already like you already have something on me, and if you claim you can't find it, that's your problem. However, the Gemara says, Hatakana. It's really like Hatakana Tzalchamin, because it doesn't make sense that the person that lent you the money should end up losing just because he lost his document. Yocha Hola Dechadi, that the borrower should just eat and be happy that he lost his shtar. So it's Hatakana Tzalchamin that they said that he has to pay and accept the receipt, even though Alfi Ikar Adin, he should not have to, even though the Gemara says the other Svar, so he now has to guard his receipt. But that's the old thing, that since I'm the borrower, I'm a little bit subservient to you, and that's why it's up to me to take that responsibility of guarding my receipt rather than you having to regard your document. But Kiriger says, similarly, he says that similarly, he says the only time you're chayav to pay back a loan is if you're assured that this is going to be the end of the story. I don't have to pay back a loan if I'm doubtful that it's going to be the end. And if you still have the document, I'm doubtful it's going to be the end. If you have my mashkan, look, I paid back the loan. I know it's the end. Now, how am I going to get my security back? That's a separate issue. It's the same idea that separating the security from the security is different than a loan, where the shtar is part and parcel of the loan. That goes together. So, once again, la'alachana, we do hold that if the malva claims he lost the shtar, and once again, he does not need witnesses, if he claims he lost the document, he can force the lover to accept the receipt, and the lover has to pay and accept the receipt in exchange and have to guard that receipt forever. Right, that's the halacha. Of course, if the malva ever finds the shtar, then he should give it back. Okay, so that's the first case. Okay, so let's talk about the second case, and that is where the malva doesn't claim that the shtar is lost, but he claims that, I'm sorry, I took it on a trip to Eretz Yisrael, and I left it over there at my summer home in Eretz Yisrael. When I go back next summer, I'll bring it back to you, but in the meantime, I need the money. So the Sefer Truma brings a raya from the Gemara in Ksuvos, Tazayin Amid Beis. The Gemara talks about a woman who claims that she doesn't have her ksuva, her document, and she wants to collect from the yarshim, from the husband. If it was a divorce, the husband's heirs, if she's an amana, she wants to collect money, but she claims she can't find the ksuva, she doesn't know where it is. So Gemara says, brings a bright, it's back and forth, whether we hold, we force you to write a receipt or not write a receipt, but the line that we're focusing on, that he focuses on, is kol ibda, whenever she claims that she lost the ksuva, it's ki yidmina b'faneinu dami, it's as if she hid it in front of us. And therefore, lo yalvina la, we don't force the husband to give her the money, until she can find a proof that the ksuva was actually destroyed. So that's what the Gemara says. The Baal Truma says from this, first of all, he says, okay, so we don't hold, we just said that if it's lost, so then you are believed to say that it got lost and you can force him to take your receipt. So we don't hold of that part, because that's going like the other man to Omar. But the Gemara says it's a simple thing. The Gemara says, well, if it's lost, it's as if it was hidden in front of us. So he says from here, wherever the Malva says that it's either hidden in front of me or it's in a different country, that's the same idea that you had, the Lova has the right to say, I'm not going to pay until you get that shtar. Right? Once we know where it is, his lashon is, Kaven de Yadinan Shtara Hecha. Since we know where the shtar is, we know it's in a different country, it's kehidmina b'fonein adami, it's as if it's hidden in front of us. Now the Gemara says, wherever it's hidden in front of us, so the halacha is, you can't force me to pay. That's what the Gemara says. So therefore, he says as a proof from this Gemara that you can't force a lova to pay when you have the document somewhere in your possession, even though it's not easily to come by right now, and you can't force him to take a receipt. This is also Paskin in the Shulchan Aruch in the next sif. The Shulchan Aruch says, Amar Hamalva, the lender says, Ein Shtari Atav Yadi, the shtar is not in my hands right now. Kihubi Aracheris is it's a different city. The Echtev L'chol Shover, I'll write you a receipt. Yesh Misha Omer, there are those that say that's his Baal HaTrumas. She'ein Shaman, though we don't listen to him, Kemeshu Ba'olam, because since it's in the world, Lo Yifrat She'yachsel HaShtar, he doesn't have to pay until he gets his document returned. There's the Gedulei Truma, when the Baal Trumas argues with him, that they Avraham defends him, but that's the way it's passing in the Shulchan Aruch. And I didn't see anyone down till the Aruch HaShulchan who disagrees. Right, the Shulchan Aruch says Loshen Yesh Misha Omer. Some say like this. The Aruch HaShulchan says Belinira. It seems to me that if the Malva needs the money now, and it is a likely story, the Beis Din sees his Loshen is Beis Din Rohan She'ein Arma Bezeh. They see that there's no trickery here. It's true that he does make this annual trip to Eretz Yisrael, and he came back in a rush because something happened. His son had his daughter's son had a child, and he had to come back for the bris quickly, and he left some of the stuff back in Eretz Yisrael. So they see there's no trick, and so then kofen as a lova, we do force a lova to pay sheishanlo apishover by receiving a receipt. However, the Beis Din lochem bituchos me'almava, the Beis Din can take some security. The lova, the borrower, can force the court to take some security from the malva. Sheyamin has charli out halova l'zman ploni, that to I guarantee that he gets the star back by the next year. You say you're going back next year, okay? But make sure you bring it. I don't want to have to go through this every year that you forgot it because you're so busy when you get to Eretz Yisrael and you forget to look for it. The Beis Din will take some guarantee that you'll give it back by the time you go back next year. So that's Aruch HaShulchan, even though. No one, I didn't see anyone until there that disagreed. Well, we did see disagree, but no one really paskins against the Shulchan Aruch here. The Aruch HaShulchan does, the Pischei Choshen brings this Aruch HaShulchan, that there is this this way, this little lifeline for the Lova. But under simple circumstances, the Halacha is, I'm sorry, it's a lifeline for the Malva. The simple circumstances there are, as long as the Malva has that document, the lover of the halacha does not have to pay back the loan until he receives the document, even though it's very difficult for the malva to get. Once again, if the Beis Din sees that it's undue harm to the malva to wait that long, and they'll work out something that he gets the money right away. Okay, now we get to the third case. The third case is the shtar is right here, but the malva and lover have gotten in onto bad terms. In the meantime, since the loan took place, and they're arguing who goes first, the malva says, I'm not going to give you back the IOU, the shtar, until you give me the money. And the lova says, I'm going to trust you for a second. I'm not going to give you the money until you give me back the shtar. So the Rashba brings a raya for this from another Gemara in Ksuvas. The Gemara in Ksuvas, the Pehe Yom Aleph, has this ma'isa. Avimi, Bereid Rav Avahu, Havamaske Beizusi Bechozoi. Avimi, the son of Rav Avahu, owed money to the people in Chozoi. Shadrinu Biyad Chama, Bereid Rav Avahu. He sent the money in the hands of Chama, the son of Rav Avahu, to pay back the loan. So I don't know if this is his brother. Avimi, the son of Rav Avahu, the money, sent it in the hands of Chama. I mean, his nephew, the son of Rav Avahu. Not Rav Avahu, I don't know. So anyway, also Parinu, Chama went and paid the money, and Amalon, he said, okay, now Havali Shtar, give me back the document. Amalon, they said to him, Sitroininu, we're not giving you back the document, because the money, the truth is, Rav Avahu really owed us two loans. he owed us two loans, and the loan, one loan had a document, the other didn't, and you just gave us back this $1,000. We're taking that for the oral loan, and the written loan, he still owes us one. So the Gemara goes back and forth and says who's believed. The Gemara says they are believed. The people in Chazoya believe because it's talking where there were no witnesses there, and there's a migul. They could have said, look, we didn't get anything. So since they could have lied, if they wanted to lie, they could have said we didn't receive any money. They're believed to say the money we received was for this outside loan, this oral loan, and you still owe us for the written loan, and we're not giving back the shtar. But the Gemara then has a question. Is the shliach responsible for messing up his shlichus over here? Why did he give back the money before he received the document back? Question now is, they don't have to give back the shtar. The question is the shliach responsible for what he did? Did he do any ruin Avimi's chances that now he has to pay the loan again? So the Gemara says, "Linish shlumi shliach mai." What's halacha? Whether the shliach, whether the agent has to pay Avimi because he ruined his job? So Amar Ravashi, Ravashi says, "It depends on how it was set." Yomer leishkol shtar v'avzuzi. If the lova, if Avimi in this case had told the shliach, make sure you take the document first, and then give him the money, then the shalim, so then the shliach has to pay because he was negligent and by giving the money first. But if the lova said, hav zuzi, he said, give the money, shkol shtarim, don't forget to take the document, then lova shalim, he doesn't have to pay because I did what you told me. The Gemara though concludes, velohi, that's not a good chiluk. Benkach or Benkach Mashan, either way, the Shliach has to pay. Normally, because the Lova could tell him, I asked you to help me, I didn't ask you to hurt me. And what you did was wrong in all accounts. No one ever heard of such a thing to give the money until you get the receipt back. Because you gave the money first, and before you made sure you got the receipt, you're negligent and you have to pay. So the Rashba brings a clear proof from this Gemara that wherever there's a debate between the mom and the lover who goes first, we see from this Gemara that it's the malva that has to return the document first, and then the lover will pay the debt. That's the Rashba's psak, and the Ramav paskins is. The Ramav says, "Im ha-malva omar tifra ein tchila." The malva says, "I want you to pay me first." And then afterwards, I'll give you back your shtar. The lover says, no, give me back the document first. I'll pay you then afterwards. Hadinim alova, the din is with the lover wins. Now why is it so, why is the malva so worried about who goes first? And this might be a svara in the Rashba, and that is that it's, why not give it to a third party? Put it in escrow, a third party. So the malva says, well, the lover didn't pay yet. I'm worried that if I'm not holding the document, he'll just run away. By me holding onto the document, so then I guarantee that he'll pay me on time. He won't run away. And that's the Malva's taina. So that taina is what the Malva says. The Lava says, so that would be good in normal cases, because the Lava says, look, I'm ready to pay right now. Here, I'm ready to pay. Just give me the document first. So there the Gemara, the Rashba says, the Lova has the upper hand because he's ready to pay. Maybe like the Svara we said before, that I don't have to pay if I put myself in jeopardy that I'm going to collect it again. You have something on me, so give it back first and I'll pay. The Ramah does conclude if the Malva is nervous that about giving back the document, he could give it back in front of witnesses, he could give it over to Avestin, and until he gets the money, that is something he can do. But he can't force the Lova, you give the money over. The Lova has all the right in the world to say, look, you're holding a document, I don't have to give you the money back until you give me the document. That's what the Rashba says, it seems to him. He says, the Derech Efshar, the Ramah Pasuk. And that would be the end of the story. Except that Achronim bring a Ritva. This is the Rashba. The Achronim, the Divrei Gaonim, and this is interesting, we always like when the Svarim argue back and forth with each other. So this goes back and forth four times. The Divrei Gaonim brings a Ritva on a Gemara in Ksuvah. So Gemara in Ksuvah is at the very end of the, you know, just the excerpt. The Gemara in Ksuvah is talking about the Gemara says you're not allowed to hold a paid-up document in your possession. It's lo yishkan ba'alecha avla. It's an avla to have something that could result in harm to someone. Same pasuk, you're not allowed to have an apostle sefer Torah in your possession. The Gemara says, but however, even though the loan was paid, but if you're still holding the document, you want to hold the document because the lova didn't pay for the sofer yet to write the shtar, which is his responsibility. So then, the Gemara says, then the Dimashi, the Apshiti, this offer, sometimes the lender will keep his document to pay, to make sure that he gets paid for the sofer. Right, that is, that's what the Gemara says. The Gemara says that the Mava might sometimes want to hold on to the document in order to make sure he gets paid the few dollars that he paid the scribe to pay the sofer. That's what the Gemara says. So the Ritva says from that, listen to the words of the Ritva. Mikan Nilmud, from here we should learn. So Yochel HaMavu La'akev, the Mava has the right to refuse to to refuse to give the shtar to the lover, v'lo l'shum adam, or to anyone else, until he gets paid the last penny. And if the lover is worried that if he pays till the last penny, without getting the shtar back first, and he's worried that he won't get the shtar back, so then he has all the rights to yifrenu if they hate him. Let him pay him in front of witnesses, or if they bet him in front of the court. That's the lova's prerogative. But the lova has to pay back the loan. We see from the Gemara, the Ritva says, that the mava has the right to say, I'm not giving you back the shtar until you pay the loan. That's what the Ritva says. So the Divrei Gaonim asks, why is the Shulchan Aruch, the Ramah at least, and all the later poskim, they all go with this Rashba, based on the sugya later on in Ksuvas. There's this other Gemara in Ksuvas with the Ritva, and the Ritva says clearly that we see from this sugya that a Malva can say, I'm not giving you back the document until you give me the money. Right? It's a clear kasha the Rigonim asks on the poskim. The Erech Shai, who, by the way, his yard site was today, Monday now, it's over, but the Erech Shai, we have a lot of times that the Erech Shai goes back and forth with Divrei Gaonim. He brings his Divrei Gaonim, and he says, the Divrei Gaonim, you misunderstood the Ritva. The Ritva is not talking in the same case the Rashba is talking about. The Ritva is talking in a case where the lover is not ready to pay back the whole loan. In that case, the Mava could say, oh, I'm not going to give you the document until you completely pay the loan to the last penny. The Rashba is talking in a case, and the Ramah is talking in a case where the lover says, I'm here, I'm paying you back, it's all in my pocket, I'll show it to you, here it is, the whole money for the debt, but just make sure you give me back the document before I give you the money. But there's no kasha between the Rashba and the Ritva. They're talking about different cases. The Rashba is talking where he's ready to pay back the full loan, and the Ritva is talking where he's not ready to pay back the full loan, like the Gemara says, he's keeping it for the Pshiti Desafi, he's waiting for the money to pay for the sofer, or he's want to keep all he's paying most of the loan. In that case, the Gemara is clearly, the Ritva is clearly correct in saying that the Mava doesn't have to give back the document if the loan is not going to be paid in full. That's what the Erech Shai asks on the Divrei Gaonim. Now the Divrei Gaonim made a reprint of his sefer while he was alive, and in the reprint, he added different hosafas, where he quotes the Erech Shai. He says, since I made my first edition of Divrei Gaonim, the Erech Shai was printed, and I see that he didn't like the way I understood the Ritva, but he says, b'mechilas kavodo, lo dok, the Erech Shai was not careful in his reading, because look at the end of the Ritva, he says. At the end of the Ritva says, im chosesh, if the lover is worried that he's going to pay back, and he will not receive his star, he should pay in front of witnesses. Now, what's the lover paying back there? It must be the lover saying, I'm paying back the full loan, I'm ready to pay back the full loan, and I'm worried that if I pay back the full loan without getting the document, you'll just run away with the document and collect again. And by looking at the end of the Ritva, it's true, the beginning of the Ritva is not clear. He says, from here we see the mob can hold on to the shtar until he gets paid the last penny. Right? But then it says, and if he's, the lover's worried that he's going to pay till the last penny, l'chora, and not get the star back, so then he should, the only thing you do is to make sure there are witnesses around or a bezin around. Right? That's what the Divrei Gaonim says, that Erech Shai was not careful in meeting the Ritva. But then later the Erech Shai wrote his tshuvas, called the Tshuva Shai, we spoke out last week. And in the Tshuva Shai, he brings the Divrei Gaonim's new edition, where he said that I wasn't careful in my reading of the Ritva. So the way he puts it, I have a few of the words in the handout, I'll read you it. Devar of Tumuhim, oh yo, Sir Asha, it's even worse now. The first time I asked on him, okay, it's one thing. But it's even worse now. Why? Shekar Ra Devar, you already saw what I wrote back to him, Bilim Nichle Verosky, didn't get burned from the boiling water that I had, that I answered him. Right, so what's the kasha? He says, he asks like this, and this seems to be a very compelling, what do you think, who's right? He has a good kasha. Let's think of what you want to do over here. The Ritva is bringing a rai from the Gemara that the Malva can say, I'm holding on to the star until you pay me. Now, what's his raya? The raya is, because the Gemara said that sometimes a Malva will hold the star in order to get back the coins that you have to pay to the sofer. Now, how can you learn from there that when the lover is willing to pay back every single penny, that the Malva can still hold on to the star? All the Gemara said was that if he's, even though he owes you only a small amount, at that point you can say, look, I'm not giving you the star back until you give me every penny down to the last penny. But you don't see, you can't see from the Gemara that if he's willing to say, here, I'm giving you every single penny, give me the star back first, you don't see that from the Gemara. So the Ritva obviously must only be saying that where the Lova is not willing to pay down to the last penny, or even if he's willing to pay the whole value of the loan, but he's not willing to pay the peripheral items that he's responsible for, like the sofer, in that case, the Ritva says the Malva has the right to hold on to the star until he gets the full payment back. How do you read the end of the Ritva? You read it like this, that if the Lova is worried he'll pay down to the last penny, and he won't receive the star back because he still owes those few pennies for the sofer, so then he can pay in front of witnesses if he wants to, in front of a bezdin. But if the lover is willing to pay every single penny, including all the peripheral costs, so then we have no raya from the Ritva against the Rashba. That's the way the Jewish side concludes. I think it's a just from the reading of the Gemara, I think just stepping back and seeing what the context of what the Ritva was writing on, it seems that it is a compelling argument, even though at the end of the lashon you have to squeeze a little bit, but put it into the context. So at any rate, we have no real threat to the Rashba's halacha that if there's a debate between the two, who goes first, the Malva or the Lova, it seems that the Rashba has a good raya from the later Gemara, because it was Tehei, that it was the Shliach was wrong in accepting, in paying before he got the receipt, the document back. So reviewing the halachas we learned tonight, we first learned that the Malva says, I'm sorry, I lost the document. I can't give it back to you. And the Lova says, well, I'm not paying you until you find it. I don't want to have to accept the receipt, because then I have to be worried about guarding the receipt forever. I don't want to have to worry about that. The Malva, though, we said, I don't want to have to lose because I lost the receipt. Right? That's this back and forth. So we said, even though the Nesivus or Kager, but they both say for different reasons, that really Mehikra Din, if I shouldn't have to pay back a loan if I'm not receiving the document in return, either because I'm putting myself in jeopardy that you're going to collect again, or it's like you already have a certain collection from me by holding the document, and therefore I'm not responsible to pay. You already collected to some extent by holding this document, but the Takanas Chachamim is that it isn't right. You're like the Eved, and he did you that favor, lending you the money. You have to take the risk of holding onto the receipt forever if he claims that the star got lost. And once again, he doesn't have to have any proof supporting evidence that it got lost. It's just say-so. He's saying that the stark a loss is sufficient for him to force you to hold, to accept the receipt and make sure that you hold that receipt forever and give instructions, put it in a safe place where that receipt is always there. And by the way, the receipt should be written, it should be written on the receipt that this pays the loan of whatever date on the document was. So, you know, you shouldn't say, oh, that receipt's for something else. That was a different, that was a different loan, right? You're right, what the loan is for. If the Malva, the second halacha was, if the Malva says, I'm honest, I do have the shtar, but it's, I can't get to it now, it's far away, it's a different city, different country, and I wanted my money back now anyway. So Me'ikar Adin, the Baal Truma says, the Lova can refuse to pay, because look, I'm putting myself in jeopardy, I don't have to pay if you're not giving back the document, and the document is in existence, and it is a true threat that who knows what could happen over the years. And you could, it could easily, it's not that it even got lost, it's here, you're saying you know where it is, and it's certainly going to come back to haunt me later. So the Shulchan Aruch Paskin said he has the right to say, I'm not paying until you give me back a that document. The Aruch HaShulchan said, however, that, and he's the Posek Achron, the Aruch HaShulchan did say that if it is a reasonable time that the Malva has, and he really needs the money now, and the Bezin could see that it wasn't really no trickery going on, they're all honest people, so then the Bezin will get involved and hold some security to make sure the Lova will pay, and they'll hold some security to make sure the Lova gets his star back in a timely manner. Finally, the last case where these two people got into their terms with each other and they're fighting who should go first. We have this raya from the case in the Gemara with Avimi that does seem clear from the Gemara that it's incumbent upon the Mala to give back the document and then the Lova pays the money. The Rama does say if the Mala is Malva's nervous about giving back the document, let him give it back in front of Adam to make sure there's nothing bad goes on there. But if there's that, this argument going on, the Lova can demand the document first before he pays. This question whether the Ritva is arguing with the Rashba, the Dibrei Gaonim says he is, the Erech Shai seems to have good tainas that the Ritva is not disagreeing with the Rashba. They're talking about different cases, that certainly everyone will agree that if the Lova is not willing to pay back the full loan, even if it's just a little bit that he's not paying back, the Malva does have the right to hold on to the shtar and say, look, I'm not giving back to him to pay every single penny, including the peripheral cost of the sulfur. But if the Lova is willing to pay back everything he has in his hands, ready to pay back, he can demand the document back first before he gives the money back. This will lead us to next week's topic, which is also a very common, maybe more common issue, and that is when you did pay back a loan with a check, and you find out the check wasn't cashed, do you have any responsibility to inquire what's going on? Did they lose the check? Or can you say, look, I paid the check, I'm finished. That's next week's topic.